We're reading from Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning. Jeremiah 18, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah, and he said, "Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there." So I did as he told me, and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave me this message, "O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, but then that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I had planned. And if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I said I would. Therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right." Have you ever noticed how some things become so common, even when there's a change, you don't notice? You ever notice that? You make a trip to Conway, you drive it all the time, and then all of a sudden one day you go, "Oh, when did that get there? Or when did they move that?" You don't have to tell me it's never happened to you, because I know it has. We're just that way. A few weeks ago at a ministerial alliance meeting, they got to talking about things that they had moved in the sanctuary. They would move some things, maybe from the front to the back. And it would be months and sometimes even years before anyone noticed and asked them about it. In fact, on one of them, a former pastor had moved something. And they got a new pastor, the present pastor. And a year after he had been there a year, somebody came up to him and asked him, "Why did you move that?" And he didn't even move it. You know, we just don't notice things. We get so used to seeing something the way that it is, that everything becomes so common, really we just don't pay attention. And then one day, wow, when did that happen? We're just that way. And it's that way with a lot of things in life. Even when it comes to Scripture and maybe even our relationship with God. We read the Scriptures, we read a Bible verse over and over and over again, and then one day we see something we've never seen before. It's always been there, but we've never seen it. Or we get in such a routine of living that we begin to get lax in our walk with God. We get comfortable. We just sort of start going through the motions and we stop growing. And maybe even dying spiritually. And then one day God gets our attention and he shows us what he sees. And then we have a choice that we have to make. You see, I have no doubt that Jeremiah walked past the potter's house every day. He had walked past and watched all the potter out there doing his thing many, many, many times. He had saw him sitting there with one leg pumping the wheel that was down close to the ground with a lump of clay up on another wheel about waist high, molding it and forming it. But God told him to go and take another look. Go to the potter's house. And see what he does. Really watch what he does. And so Jeremiah goes and he stops at the potter's house and he's watching him mold and work this clay. And the clay's not cooperating. The clay's not doing, it's not forming to the shape that he wants it to. And so the potter just takes and crushes it and starts all over. And as Jeremiah was watching the potter do this, God said, "You see that? That is the relationship I have with Judah. You are clay in my hands." And you know, often we've sung the song and we've talked about it and you've heard messages on it and you've read the scripture. God's the potter, we're the clay. God molds us. He molded Judah. And you see, God can do that because God is sovereign. You know, God has molded us physically. Now, granted, we've altered some of God's design a little bit, but God has molded us physically. You are recognized as you visually look, and that's how God made you. You know, there's some of us that sort of look about the same. You know, David's told often, he looks like me. But yet there's a difference. You can tell a difference between us. Because God's sovereign. He's made us. He designed us all different. He made us different. In fact, the psalmist said, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. The workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." You see, each one of us, we are a product of God's sovereignty. But you know, God also desires to mold us not only physically, but spiritually. He has this idea of what it is our lives are to look like. And He is looking to mold us, just as He did Judah. But what we discover is from Jeremiah is Judah was being stubborn. You know, they were going their own way, doing their own thing, pretty much ignoring God. And God told Jeremiah He was fixing to crush them like the clay vessel that didn't turn out the way that it should have. We see the sovereignty of God. God said if a nation turns away from Him, you know, He can destroy it. He can crush it. But by the same token, if a nation turns to Him, He will save it. He will bless it. He will make it prosper. Because He is sovereign. He can do that. What God does is always consistent, though, with His nature. He is holy. He is just. He is wise. He is loving. And everything He does is consistent with that. But you see also what God does depends on what they chose. What God did depended on what the nation chose to do. And we can bring that right down. What God does for us depends on what we choose. We also see not only God's sovereignty, we see His salvation. You see, what God wanted to see was repentance. That's what He wanted to see. He wanted Judah to repent and to come back to Him. He wanted to take their lives that was marred by sin and by grace restore them. He wanted them to be remade in His image. He wanted them to stay on the wheel and to continue to be molded and shaped by Him. And that's what God wants to do for us. He wants us to stay on the wheel. He's not finished with any of us yet. He wants to continue to mold us and shape us to where we're more and more like in His image. But we also see not only God's sovereignty and His salvation, we see His severity. You see, God realizes sometimes man doesn't turn back to Him. Jeremiah 18:11 says, "This is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good." You see, the potter will work the clay as long as he can form it into a useful product. He will keep working the clay. He'll smash it down if it doesn't work and he'll try again. But there comes a point in time when the clay gets hard. And when the clay gets hard, he can no longer work it. And he'll take it off the wheel and he'll throw it away. You see, there comes a time when God would allow Judah to be destroyed because they would not turn from evil and do right. And the same is true for you and me. See, Judah is a picture of us. Yeah, there's a mystery that's involved in the relationship between divine sovereignty and human responsibility, but we don't have to explain the will of God before we obey that will. We have the ability to receive God's word and to accept it or to reject it. You know, a lump of clay is just that. It's a lump of clay. It is totally at the potter's choosing what happens to it. And even though we are made from the dust of the earth, we have the ability to resist God. We have the ability to tell God He's not going to form us that way. And resist what He's trying to mold us. We see in our lives God's sovereignty and His salvation and His severity. And if we continue to resist God, verse 11 is God's promise to us. He is planning disaster. You know, I believe everyone has the opportunity to repent and turn to God right up until the moment they take their last final breath. God's desire is for everyone to be saved. But if there is no repentance, they become the hard clay that's cast off the wheel. You know, and I also believe that sometimes God withholds His blessings and He plans disaster, letting us go our own way and do our own thing until we hit rock bottom. And when we hit the bottom, there's no other way to go and no other place to look but up to Him. How many times have you heard someone say, "I finally hit rock bottom"? God will let us go that journey. He will withhold His blessings. He will let us go our own way until we can go no further down than where we're at, if that's what it takes for us to look up to Him. You see, God is going to lead us to a place where we are faced with a choice: life or death. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 15, it says, "Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep His commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in His ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and occupy." This is God's promise to the Hebrew children as they are getting ready to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. This is God's promise to them. But He didn't stop there. He went on. "But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now, I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord and you live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." You see what God was telling the Hebrew children, and what He tells us today is you have a choice. And your choice is your responsibility. It's yours. See, only you can choose between good and evil, life and death. And your choices are going to result in either blessings or curses. No one can do it for you. You must choose. You know, I had jury duty here a while back, and I went in, and in the orientation, the judge, he looked at us and he went, "No one can excuse you from jury duty but me." He says, "Your doctor can't do it. Your therapist can't do it. Your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy, nobody, not even your best friend, can excuse you from jury duty. Only I can do that." Folks, nobody can make a choice for you. Only you can do that. Only you. God has given you a human free will. God has given you that responsibility to choose. And because of that, there is no power or influence in heaven or earth or hell that can make you accept or reject God. The only one who can change that, who has the power to do that, is the power of God Himself. And He gave you that power, so He's not going to take it from you. It's your choice. He gave it to you. Nothing can make you sin. Nothing can make you repent. It's your choice. You can be tempted to sin, but it's still you who choose. God can convict you to repent, but it's still you who's going to choose. It's your choice. You are accountable for your actions. You see, your life is shaped by the choices you make. Your destiny is not determined for you. Your destiny is determined by you. You pick it. The story is told of Dr. Pierce Harris. He went to preach in a prison in Georgia, and he was introduced by a prisoner with these words. Several years ago, two boys lived in a town in North Georgia. They went to the same school, played together, and attended the same Sunday school. One dropped out of Sunday school and said that it was sissy stuff. The other boy kept on going. One rejected Christ. The other accepted Him. And the boy who rejected Christ is making this introduction today. And the boy who accepted Christ, he is the honored preacher who is to speak to us today. You see, each had a choice to make. They each made their choice. You know, there's a saying that used to go around, all roads lead to Rome. You know what? That's not true. All roads don't lead to Rome. And all roads don't lead to heaven either. There's only one road to heaven. And Jesus called it a narrow road. And it's the road that everyone must travel if they're going to go to heaven. It's the road through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's it. If you're not traveling that road, you're not going to heaven. You're going somewhere else. There's only one road that's going to get you there. And the thing is, if you're on that road, it's because you chose to be on that road. It is you who chose life or death, good or evil. God regenerates us. He puts us in contact with all His divine resources. But He cannot make us walk according to His will. That's your choice. It's our responsibility to choose. See, you choose the path. But you don't choose the consequences of the choice. You choose the path, life or death. But you don't get to choose blessings or curses. They're the consequence of the choice you make. See, God is sovereign. And He rewards and He punishes according to our choices. Oswald Chambers said, "Our destiny is not determined for us, it is determined by us. Man's free will is part of God's sovereign will. We have freedom to take which course we choose, but not freedom to determine the end of that choice. God makes clear what He desires. We must choose. The result of the choice is not the inevitableness of law, but the inevitableness of God." And here's the deal. God wants you to choose life. Deuteronomy 30:19. Oh, that you would choose life. That's God's desire. Man, He's laid out the picture for us, what it's going to look like, whichever choice we make. But His desire is we choose life. You know, I don't think it would make God the least bit unhappy if evil and death ceased and He could erase the punishment part out. I don't think that'd make Him unhappy at all. But He knows there's a choice to be made. He knows the choice is there. Life or death. Good or evil. And as long as there's a choice. Some are going to choose death and evil. But God wants us to choose life. God wants us to choose good. And the thing is, God tells us how to choose life and good. And sometimes we need to be reminded, because we get to going through life just sailing along and missing some important stuff. You know, when was the last time you examined your life by the keys of life? Did you even know there were keys to life? You see, we can get to sailing along so much, we just get comfortable in our Christian walk and we don't have a desire to know new truth and we don't have a desire to grow. We're happy with our life the way it is. We don't need to grow anymore. We don't need to become any more like Christ. God loves us. Life's good. But God still wants us on the wheel. God's still wanting to mold us. God's still wanting to do some transformations in our lives. God's still wanting us to show us some new light that we need to walk in. God's still wanting us to grow to be more like Christ, because none of us have arrived yet. So when's the last time you examined your life by the keys of life? God gave them to us right here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the keys to life. Key number one, love the Lord your God. We find it in the law. Jesus repeated it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love Him with all your heart. That means love Him with all your emotions, all your thinking, all your affections. Don't hold anything back. Love God with all of it. Love Him with all your soul. Folks, your soul, that's just life itself. So love Him with all your life. Love Him with all your mind. With all your intellect, all your knowledge, all your understanding. I know some of us fall a little short on that end. But how much ever of it you got, love Him with it. All of it. With all your strength. That means in all your actions. All your actions. Show that you love God. In other words, love God with everything you've got. When's the last time you stopped to look and asked yourself the question, and God, am I loving you with all I've got? The second key, obey Him. Now Jesus said, if you love Him, you will obey Him. So that means these two are inseparable. You cannot truly love God unless you're obeying Him. But do we get so comfortable that we cease to discover the truth of God's Word so we can obey? We've always got to be discovering new truth. You know, sometimes we just get to going through the motions, and we never stop to watch the potter. We never stop to see just what it is God really wants to show us today that will change our lives. We must long to know God and to know more of God and more of His Word, that we will also choose to walk in the light as He is in the light. In other words, obey His Word completely. Love the Lord your God. Obey Him. The third key is commit or cling to the Lord. Different translations do use different words here. The New Living Translation that we read from this morning is commit yourself firmly to Him. The Contemporary English Bible says cling. The New Revised Standard and the NIV says hold fast. The Contemporary English Version says be completely faithful. You know, with all these different phrases and words, really they all boil down to three words. Go all in. Go all in. Cling to God. Hang on to God. Don't let go of God. Put yourself in a position to where you're all in when it comes to God. You know, as I was thinking about this, I got what came to my mind is the difference between a chicken and a pig for breakfast. You know what the difference between a chicken and a pig for breakfast is? The chicken lays an egg and goes its way. Oh, it contributed all right, but it didn't invest very much. But you know, if you're going to have some sausage and bacon and ham, the pig gave his all. He gave everything. As I thought about that, though, you know, all great illustrations break down at one point or another because Chick-fil-A has changed all that. There are some chickens who have given their all. That's what Chick-fil-A serves for breakfast, is chicken and not eggs. Chicken. Folks, we don't need to be the chicken that just lays the egg. We need to be the chicken that gives our all. Everything. Holding nothing back. Just like the pig always does. We have to go all in. That's what it is to commit. Until you've gone all in, until you've given everything, until you surrender everything you've got and have nothing left to hold back, you're not clinging to God. You see, the way to life is to give your life to the one who gives life. Verse 20 in Deuteronomy 30 said, "Be completely faithful to the Lord your God. Love Him. Do whatever He tells you. The Lord is the only one who can give life." He's it. You know, today as you look at Jeremiah 15 and Deuteronomy chapter 30, what is God showing you? What has He shown you this morning? You know, whatever it is, I know He wants you to choose life. I know He wants you to love Him, to obey Him, to never let Him go. He wants you to take the truths you have and choose life. But you know, the choice is yours. It's your choice. You can take what God has revealed to you and apply it to your life and obey, or you can take what God has revealed to you and tell God, "Nah, I really don't need that." Your choice. Because you have a choice of life or death, good or evil. The only really question is, which one do you choose? Are you happy just sailing through life, watching it go by, missing everything that God has for you? Are you willing to slow down enough that you notice when God wants to change something? When God is speaking to your heart and says, "Here, give me that area of your life. Here, let me take that from you. Here, let me carry that load for you. Here is my word for you today. Will you choose to walk in it that you can be more like me? Will you choose to walk in it so that someone else might see there's a God who's wanting them to choose between good and evil, life and death?" You see, in essence, we are the vessels that are to continue the work that Jesus began. And we do that by loving God, obeying Him, and clinging to Him. Dear God, this morning, You've given us the truth of Your word. May we now apply it to our lives. Dear God, help us not to get so busy traveling through life that we're just letting things slide by, not noticing the truths that You have for us. Dear God, may we hear Your voice. May we truly slow down enough to watch the potter mold the clay. May we discover the truths that you have for us, dear God, and apply them to our lives, that you can transform us and mold us and shape us into being the people you want us to be. And dear God, from time to time, may we slow down enough to really examine the keys to life that you've given us and how they're fitting into our life. Are we loving you as we should love you? Are we obeying as we should obey? Have we gone all in? Are we clinging to you? Are we hanging on to you, refusing to let you go? Dear God, mold us into the people you want us to be. May we be found always saying yes, Lord, to your will, to your way. May it be done in my life as you say. Thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you, dear God, for the words you've spoken into hearts today. Now may we choose life and good and enjoy the blessings of our God. We pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.